And worship so often is, these days, is led basically from the front. You have a band, don't you? And the band does all the, and everybody else sort of semi-spectates, really. And that's okay in certain situations, that's fine. But one of the things I think that we, the church, need to get back to as well is actually moving forward in worship ourselves. Because I think if we're not careful, we're dragged along into worship rather than leading in worship. We get dragged along by the beat, the band, or the musicians. And I think even some of the older hymns, we need to sort of look back and go back to some of the older hymns, some of the great truths. Yeah, John Wesley, you know, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And realise that there was power, and they were quoting scripture. And if you and I focus on a lot of the choruses that are being produced today, much of that is about me, and having a good time, and God doing things for me. And that's not really what it's about. It's about we are worshipping God. And as we worship God, He will do great and mighty things. You, in one sense, you won't have to ask God to do something because His blessings are already upon you. And the Word tells us that His blessings will overtake us. So the situation is you don't need to be standing saying, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. You need to be on your way, doing and praising God. And as you're on your way doing and praising God, the blessings will come overtaking you, you see. And so those are the directions that we've sort of got turned around a bit over these last few years. Not directly as part personally, but you know, that's the way everything's gone church wise and we were setting up a Christian camp, weren't we, this Monday. Well, I did one on Saturday as well. And they have music on while you set it up, you know. They did. And this is what you could hear. And you're at that for 4 or 5 hours. I'm thinking, if I don't turn that thing off, I'm going to put my foot through a speaker. You know, absolutely. And I thought, must be my age. Yeah. It was all the time. And I sort of thought, must be my age. So I said to one of these young girls at the side that was also setting up, I said, is it me? I said, but that music is absolutely, well, I said, if you can call it music. I said, just don't do a thing for me. She says, no, she says, me neither. I thought, oh, good, it can't be my age then. She was younger than me, by the way, just in case you know. No, our lot were putting it on. Well, not our lot. Our, yeah. You sort of walked up this passageway towards the gents, didn't you? And it was quiet up there. And then you think, oh, sanctuary, you know. Go to the toilet. You walked in the toilet door and there's Radio 1 blurting out. You think, oh, no. So, but yeah. God loves music, by the way. God loves music. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. Yeah, second book of Chronicles. Chapter 20. Found it. Good. Verse 16. This is about Jehoshaphat and about a great battle. And basically, if you read all the chapter, he seeks the Lord and gathers before the Lord and seeks the face of God. If you read verse 4, and Judah gathers themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And so they're standing and seeking God. What's their situation going to be about this battle? And then verse 16, and God speaks to them. And verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they will come up by cliffs of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and faced to the ground, and all Judah and its inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. That's worship. Giving adoration. Bowing before him. Acknowledging that he is God, and that he's mighty and powerful, and that he is the one who does hear and does answer our prayers. Be sure of that. Sometimes he may not answer it in the way that you want him to answer it, but he will always answer. Sometimes we get the wrong ideas. And verse 21, and when they consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Take note, that gets read over quite easily. And he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You can just read it blandly like that. But Jehoshaphat, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. That's the key. It is about singing. It is about worshipping unto God. It's not singing just to get your emotions and to get goosebumps. But it's singing to... unto the Lord. And as you do that, then as you're singing unto the Lord, you begin to touch heaven. You begin to touch his throne. And you're entering into the presence of God in a mighty way. And when you begin to enter into his presence, and when you begin to touch the throne room of God, the power of God is being released. You can't get much closer to the source than being in the throne room. And that's the place where God wants his church to be. In the throne room. Now you say, but we live on earth. I'm talking about touching God in the throne room by the Spirit. God is Spirit. And we have to touch God by the Spirit. You alright, guys? You found something?
Yeah, I'm just noticing that the way they were worshipping, and they were singing the verse, but it says because his face was touching the ground.
Yeah.
And they all bent down with him, so they were all with their faces literally on the ground.
Yeah. And it's a place of vulnerability, but it's they themselves submitting to God, submitting to the word of God, to the command of God. No, you can't. And it's submitting to that, you know, that word of God and that command that God told them what to do the next day. And so, he, Jehoshaphat, appointed singers to sing unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know, you've got a load of soldiers who think, initially, they're going out to fight. and the word will have gone round, don't worry, lads. Don't worry, you won't have to fight. Yeah, I've heard that before. You know, there'd been Thomas in there somewhere, wouldn't he, you know. I've heard all that before about we won't have to fight. Yeah, I remember the last battle we were in, they said to me, don't worry, you won't have to fight. Well, there we were flinging stones and dodging all arrows and everything. Yeah. And so they're in this situation, and you can imagine that within the army there's this, well, are you sure we won't have to fight? Well, what are we doing with the swords and the spears and everything else here, like, you know? Oh, it's just in case, you know, that's faith, that, ain't it, you know? But God said you won't have to fight. And so the singers were trying to build faith. The singers were trying to lift their vision up to heaven, to focus on God, and to realise that God is in total control. And verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which they were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So, just as they began to sing, the angels of God moved and set an ambush. When you're in problems, when you're in trouble, when you're in difficulties, I suppose it sounds like the answer needs to be, begin to worship and praise God. Begin to worship. That's the last thing you think about doing. If you knew what state I'm in, or what my situation is, you wouldn't be able to worship. There's an army massed against them. They're outnumbered. They're outgunned. They could quite easily be outplayed on the battlefield. And God gives Jehoshaphat the word, and Jehoshaphat carries it out and says, right, sing us up front. Hang on. Yeah. Use all the arrows up on the singers, and then we'll get, you know. That's a good plan. Yeah, it's a good idea, yeah. Especially them that sing a bit flat, get them up front first, you know. God. And them that can't sing, put them right up front of it, you know, and hopefully, yeah, right up front line. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, trouble is, when the piano player starts playing, they all start singing, so shoot in first, you've got to stop your choir. Hey, that's true though. I think in churches today, shoot the piano player or the guitarist and they'll stop singing. But what is the Spirit orchestrating? We're not saying we're going to shoot you, though. So blood draining from your face then for a minute. Yeah, that's right, shoot the chief and that's it, everybody scatters. The thing what we've got to realise is that, you know, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Every one of us needs to be tuning in and to catching what the wind of the Spirit is. And so if you read the story, it goes on, and Jehoshaphat was won the battle. The army turned tail, set about itself, and God did a great work of deliverance for them, and they picked up the spoils. Sounds like a good story to me. Sounds like a good line that, you know, we could handle that. And we need to realise that God still wants to do that for us today. And did it with Joshua. But God wants to do that for us today. Now in John chapter 14 and verse 23, it tells us that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. So it's not in emotion, and it's not out of our minds, but it is out of our spirit. John's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 23. Somebody just read that out for me, please. Yes, Dad.
But the hour cometh, when now is, when the true worshipper will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Right. We'll just hold it there for a minute. Jesus is telling his disciples that this is what the Father wants. This is the pattern of what the Father wants. He wants the worship to be of spirit. Verse 24 says, God is spirit. Some of your King James say, God is a spirit. He's not a spirit. He is the. He is spirit. There isn't another dimension of God the Father other than spirit. So God is spirit. And so for you and I to touch God in our worship, it has got to be out of our spirit, not out of our emotions. Now, when our spirit begins to touch God and our spirit catches a light, if you want, and starts to worship God, then there is a knock-on effect. And Andy was talking about it today when he stood here, saying that, you know, you can be feeling you've had a bad day, you're tired, and you come to church, and then just by being together, your spirit begins to lift, and the tiredness begins to go. And it's not to do with food, it's not to do with drugs or anything like that. It's the fact that your spirit energizes and gives life to this body. You see? It's the generator that gives life to your very body. You know? And the world tries to cut the drive belt that stops the generator spinning and you flag. And the toils and the situation of the world stop the generator turning, stop the generator focusing on God and just connecting with God. And so you and I have got to realise that we are to worship Him in spirit. Sometimes we'll start in the flesh. That's okay. We can handle that, you know, because our flesh also needs to be gratified in the things of God at times. God created us, has caused us, put flesh on us. So He's going to bless that. He's going to do away with it. There'll be no more aches and pains. Glory to God. But it is quickened by your spirit. And when your spirit begins to praise, so should your body begin to praise. You know, you see people, I'm praising God. Good. Let your face know. Or let the rest of your body know that you're doing it. You know, because praise is something to be glad about. Worship is something to be excited about. Because in worship you are actually entering into the Holy of Holies. You're going into the holy place. You're going into the inner sanctum. You're going into the very presence of God. You are going onto His throne room. Wow. And you can only get there when you worship. You see, worship is part of a preparation. If you look at the high priest, the high priest was not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies with all his adornments on, was he? They had to be removed. And just, yeah, that's right. That's orthodoxy. You don't go and serve the Lord's table in all the regalia. And so, it's symbolic of that as a reminder that when we come into His presence, we come simply. And as we come washed and cleansed and simply into His presence, then He is magnified. And the glory and the magnification of God begins to come over us. How do we know this to be true? We know this to be true because Moses went into the tabernacle and met with God, and when he came out, the people said, "Oh, cover your face, cover your face." The glory, because he'd been in the presence of God. Now, you're not telling me that Moses wasn't in that tent, in that tabernacle, worshipping God? Because he was. He wouldn't have been able to stand up because of the awesome presence of God. And he was before God. Wow. Now, what happened in the Old Testament to Moses, I believe, is available to us today. That we can, if the church desires, can move itself, individuals can move themselves into such a way into the presence of God, and to begin to feel the touch and the power and the moving of God on their lives. And people will look at you and say, "You're different." And they might say, "Why?" Some might know why. "You've been with Jesus, haven't you?" they'll say. In reality, you've been with God. Absolute truth, you've been with God. That's God's desire. The Bible tells us that God is a jealous God. What's he jealous of? He's jealous of anybody else having you. He's jealous of anything else having you. And do you know when he knows when he's really got you? When he's really got hold of you, that's when you start to worship. Because you're not interested in anybody else, anything else, nothing else has got your attention. Only God. You're not interested whether your flaps on your saxophone are dry, wet, green, yellow, blue, whether you broke a string. You're not interested in that. Those are totally incidental. That's where we're going to come to. And so we can that is where God wants to draw his church, because when his church gets into that sort of presence, then that's when the church moves into the power of an anointing that is great. Now, some of us are, better be careful how I say this, some of us are old hands at church life, aren't we? Some of us are not old hands at church life in one sense. But some of us that have been around a while have seen, back a few years, we've seen the presence of God moving. We've seen the power of God moving. We've seen the manifestation of the presence of God. And some of you will probably say, "Well, I really haven't." That's the fault of our praise and worship, as we call it, in my opinion. Because the songs that have been written over these last few years have been focusing on ourselves and not upon the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, not upon the mighty God that we serve. But it's about, "Lord, meet my need, Lord. You know, touch me, Lord." Great song, yeah. I mean, and yeah, we all want a touch from God. But the only way you're really going to get a touch from God is when you actually bow the knee, submit to him, and move yourself into his presence. That's a real touch. That we can come out and people look at us and say, "Wow, I know where you've been." But the stories that go around about the great Welsh revival, and that people were drawn to church because the people in church were under such a powerful anointing that the church building glowed, basically. There are stories of fires on the top of church buildings. Not literal fires, godly fires. that appeared to be like literal fires, even the fire brigade came out, thinking the church, a church was on fire. There's one story in a small church somewhere in Wales that for 7 nights over the platform area of the church there was a face of a ram that had been slain, and it appeared and it was there for 7 nights, and people kept coming in and getting saved. They walked in and as soon as they saw it they got saved, because there was a manifest presence of God. And all that was started through prayer and worship, seeking the face of God, seeking the face of God. And you know, you hear people today saying about the world and, oh, it's a desperate place, you know, things are bad and there's all these killings and it's not safe to be out, you've got to keep your doors locked, and there's always somebody looking for an opportunity to break in. I think I told you a story about the lady at the post office a couple of weeks ago. They forgot to lock the door, and then about 2 o'clock in the morning she heard noises, and there's 2 or 3 lads and they're loading everything up at the bottom of the stairs ready to walk out with everything, and she and her 2 sons heard something and woke up and scared them off. The door had been left unlocked. I tell you something, at our house the angels have to work now and again, but we've left doors unlocked. Got up the next morning, I bet every one of us has done it. You know, you laugh at your mother, Grace, don't forget to lock the door before, you know, when you leave. You say, oh, shut up, Mom, you know. Well, yeah. But you do it, you forget. And, you know, people can walk in. I told you a few months back, I went to work. Grace went to work. I usually go last. I was off first. Somebody left the door wide open for 8 hours. The next door neighbour walked down the driveway. It was on a Tuesday, to put the dustbin away, and the door must have just blown slightly as if it was closed. Never even looked at it. When I got home at 6 o'clock, I'm like, hang on, how did she beat me home? I've seen her. I'm sure she can't have got home before. I've just seen her on the road. I'm sure she pulled off to go to the garage or something. And then I realised, I don't believe it, the door has been left open all day. So you go in gingerly, you know, thinking, I wonder if there's anybody in here. I mean, you don't know, do you? The house could have been emptied. They could have had a furniture van and gone in and taken everything. In our sleepy little cul-de-sac, nobody knows. Mind you, Dennis might have done. But tell you need God's angels around you all the time. And so you thank God and you worship Him for things like that happening in your life. But our time together, Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And it's important to realize that. But it's not about a place, but it is about God. You see, so many people worship God in a building. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter where we are, we can worship God wherever we are. Because God is everywhere. His spirit roams to and fro throughout all the earth. And I'll tell you something, the moment you begin to worship, the moment that you lift your voice, His spirit will gather around you in greater presence and power. Because He's captivated by that. He's captivated by His people, as we are captivated by Him. And so it's those things that God is wanting to do in our lives. this last couple of Sundays, as we've been coming to the end of our time of praise and worship, when I'm up there and just with the guitar keyboards and singing and everything, I can hear everything around me going off at times, different things, and I hear the wrong notes and play the wrong chords and whatever else happens, you know, and you hear all of that going on. But on the last two Sundays, as we came towards the end of praise and worship, we began to just the musicians just began to tune in a little bit to the Spirit, and we began to just sing a few words that weren't really from a song. And Andy was at the side of me, and Andy was beginning to sort of just follow in. It was beginning to just ebb and flow. And nobody's wrong in that, you know, because you're singing a song, a new song. See, the word says, sing a new song unto the Lord. What's the new song? A song that's never been sung before. And so we were beginning to just flow, and same again on this last Sunday night. Again, same thing, we began to just sing, and we just began to enter in. It wasn't about necessarily playing instruments, because I think on both Sundays we stopped playing. I think Bill on the first Sunday was just quietly with the keyboard behind us, and it was just this thing of just beginning to flow. And you need to be able to sort of just, you've got to forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. Now there's a chorus, isn't there? So forget about yourself. Forget about anybody else. Well, no, you don't forget about anybody else in that sense, because you've got to learn, you've got to listen to the other voices. On a keyboard, you press one key, and it's basically like just a voice. But you can then get another key, and if you know how to play a keyboard, you can put that one down, and those two voices blend together, don't they? And you can then go for another one, and you can get all these different keys to harmonise and make a wonderful sound. If you can't play a keyboard, you probably can't do that. But the idea is that our voices begin to follow, and you hear somebody, the anointing will be upon them. This is the point that we get to, that, you know, God may just at that point in time just lay that anointing on somebody to begin to lead a song. May not be a musician. The musicians will not fall into a flat panic when, oh, I can't find key, what key are we in, you know, what's it matter? We'll just use the voice that God gave us, which is so many variables in it, and begin to rise in a crescendo of worship unto God. The old churches are good for this because of the acoustics that are in them, and they allow it lifts the voice. Bless you. Stand over here. Jesus. Oh, I know. Just blew me through a wall. That's right. Yeah. Amen. There you go. There you go. Turn to dust. Not you. But the old churches, the buildings had this acoustic where people's, when they sang, it lifted, didn't it? I mean, you guys that go to the Church of England, you notice that, don't you? There's this resonance at times. Is it a bit dead in that one? Oh, well, pick wrong ones there, didn't I? You know. Sounds, yeah, no. Yes. Mm. Yeah, that's right. I know we, Lincoln Cathedral, we once went to hear Terry Law and his Come Together team, was it? And I mean, they were great singers, and they really could worship God. But in Lincoln Cathedral, that style of music was a waste of time. And the reason was, there was somewhere in the region of a 4 second, 3 to 4 second echo delay on it. And, you know, they'd finished and it was still going on, and everything just ran into it. It just wasn't crisp and clear. Yeah, it was just confused because they were using electronic equipment and it just wasn't working. No, it wasn't sharp. You couldn't sing with them because it's like, you could see the mouths moving, but it don't seem to be quite right, that. Yeah, see, we're going round somewhere. We sat in the wrong place here, you know. So, you know, sometimes the keyboards and the guitars and the drums and that may not fit in a place at times, but the voice will. The voice does, you see. I remember when we went to Israel and we sang in one of the little chapels, didn't we? Do you remember that note? In Jerusalem. No, she can't remember. And we did anyway, I remember. And we sang it, and it just lifts in this building. The acoustics were wonderful and just lifted. And God wants to hear your voice. Not necessarily does he want to hear Andy on the guitar or me or Luke on the saxophone. It's good at times, it is, but we've got so dependent on putting in a CD, putting in a tape, having a musician to lead us into worship. Scripture says that, you know, that you're the head of the house. You're the priest. Yeah? Well, in my book and my understanding, that means you should be able to lead in worship, entering into God's presence. You say, well, I can't sing. That's not what it's about. It's not quite what it's about. You can learn to sing. Zena's been taking lessons. Word says have respect for your parents. Right? That's better. You'll be going on one of them school trips in 1950s that were on TV last night. Ah, put you in there if you're not careful. I'll volunteer you. Yeah. But you see, you can, as you enter into God's presence, you forget about yourself. There's that chorus. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Now, these were the older songs. I think this one had Terry Law, I think. To Come Together, was it? I can't remember. It's been written a while, though, hasn't it, that one? It's an old one. And so as we... That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to do that. Because the moment that you start concentrating on you, you're not worshipping God. You've got an idol in front of you. Believe it or not, you have an idol. And so you've got to get past that idol. And you've got to move into that worshipping God. Because God is a jealous God. That's what he says, he's a jealous God. And so, we're going to stay at that at the moment, for now. And we're going to try to just... practice a little bit of worship, and alright, we'll probably set off and lead you, but then we're going to just sort of fade into the background. And it's about you just stepping out the boat and onto the water. It's about you stepping off the shore side and putting your foot into the river. But I've never done this before. That's okay. It doesn't matter. Nobody's here to judge, because we're not looking at you. We're listening to each other. And say, you know, if somebody gets that anointing and it begins to flow, then we follow it. So the key to what we're going to try and do, no, the key to what we will do is we are to develop a listening ear. Listen to where the Spirit is leading. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. God called Samuel. Listen. And then follow. And somebody, that the anointing might just rest on somebody, and they start to lead as well. Just follow. And we're going to experiment. Any questions? No. That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Just told to pray for the prophet. That's all it is. Because a lot of the early church people, I think the bishop might have said you hear that the songs were sung.
That's right.
They were sung without music.
Yes.
They were chanted.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. We might try that sometime as well. Because that actually helps in worship to you lose. The problem is you can have inhibitions. What happens if I get it wrong? Don't worry about it. What if happens if I'm out of key? If you listen, you'll soon get back into a key. Well, I'm tone deaf, don't worry about it, we'll cover you. That's right, exactly. No, and you will never grow beyond where you've sought to press in. You have to press in that a little bit closer and further. It's new to me to some degree. I mean, we've done a little bit in the past. It's not a total isolation thing, but it's something that, you know, if we break through this, we will honestly break down a lot of our inhibitions and will allow us to move into worship much freer. There used to be a dear coloured lady in Doncaster, and suddenly the Spirit of God had come on her, and she would shout. And when she shouted, if you were a bit bored and not enough, you weren't bored and not enough for long. Bye. It was like she had a voice like a thunderclap, hadn't she, bless her? I mean, don't get me wrong, she was great. She was right on it, and she could shout, glory to God, and you know, you'd see them that were nodding and they'd come up, they think the rapture had come nearly, you know, they were going like but she just, you know, the presence of God just came on, she got excited in the presence of God. She did, yeah. Well, I didn't like to mention names, Dad, you know. Oh dear. So we, you know, Ryan. So I believe that's part of the way that God, you know, really God wants his church. See, God wants to get hold of his church. I'll say that again. God wants to get hold of his church. You know, he wants to redeem it back from control of man. God wants to get back into the church so that there will be signs, wonders and miracles. There's plenty singing. There's plenty preaching. But the word says, like Philip said on Sunday, signs and wonders shall accompany and follow the preaching of the word. But we're not seeing it. I don't mean here. I'm generalising the situation. It's not being seen. Because if it was being seen, and churches will be growing in the presence and the power of God, and our nation would not be in the state it's in. It's a simple statement, and I'm sure that's right. So, and we can do something in our small corner to His praise and to His glory. Amen. Our ability to worship God comes out of our heart.
Yeah.
Our heart relationship, our spiritual relationship that we have with the Lord. And you all know this, but you need to realise it more, how crucial it is. If you are having a real bad time and you're not talking to God, you ain't going to worship God neither, are you? Come on, you know. Let's be truthful, isn't it? We don't worship God when we're having a bad time and when we've fallen out with Him or situation's not going our way and we don't talk to Him. If we're not talking to Him, we're not going to worship Him. That's an absolute truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think I'm worshipping Him when I'm not even talking to Him. You've got to be joking. You know, let's be real about this. And so the depth of our worship, the power of our worship, will come out of our relationship that we have with God. So you could look at a church and you could look at the... I thought that was a quick three quarters an hour. But, my God. Praise God. You know, I didn't realise how things were going that fast. Yeah. I know I'm packing, we're packing a lot in this last few days, but that was ridiculous, that. But you can look at a church and you can see or hear our church's relationship is with God by its actual ability to worship. Now, I don't mean sing.
No.
Anybody can sing. Andy can get up, strike up some choruses and with Daniel and that's it. And we'll all sing along, won't we? We can have a sing-along tonight if we want, can't we? And we could all go on and we could all say, ooh, that felt good, you know, I had goosebumps, you know. But was that worship? Or was it just a sing-along? And we had a nice time. And I'm not against having a nice time, because there's so many bad things in the world today. We all need to have nice times.
Sure do.
Don't we?
Yeah.
Glory, you know, I mean, we're all always fear-mongering about something. But God's in control.
He is.
He's still on the throne.
Absolutely.
Heaven's not changed. Nothing's moved.
Nope.
Heaven's still in place.
Yeah.
And the earth is the Lord's, and all that is within it
belongs
to the Lord. And so we have to realise that as you can look at a church and you can say how that church's spirit is, how that church's heart is towards God, by the level it worships God at. It's a temperature gauge, it's a thermometer. And if people don't worship God, then their relationships are low. Because when you are worshipping the Creator of all things, the God of all things, the God who has your destiny planned, the God who has all things in His hands, and everything is placed underneath His feet and under His control, and is subject to Him, and that He can create life as He speaks, as He breathes, He can heal by the whisper of His breath, He can kill, He can give life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm only just skirting around the edges of some of the key things that just fall out, some of the things that you see about God.
Mm-hmm.
And He's a God who is compassionate and who is loving and kind and knows every one of us intimately.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's, I don't know how many there is here tonight, but 21, thank you, Bill. You marked the register, good man. 21 of us, and none of us know each other intimately to that depth and degree, do we? We know each other. We know something about each other. But we don't know each other intimately. And, you know, man and husband and wife, you know, that's as close as you can get in that sense, that knowing so much about each other. But even then, you don't always know the innermost thoughts, the innermost beings of your spouse, do you? You know, sometimes you don't know what they're worrying about. You don't know what cares they've taken on board. You don't know what... And you try and fathom a woman. Well, I mean... She's complicated. Just nod your head. She's got... All I said, she's complicated. You know, it's like that story, you know, she says, shall I wear this dress? And you say, yeah, that's all right. And then she goes out and brings another one. Shall I wear this one? Yeah, that's fine. You know, and in the end, the guy, you know, she comes out with all these dresses and you say, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, and he says, you haven't really looked, have you? You know, and it's not in our house. Sometimes I take her shopping. No, I said I take her shopping. And when I take her shopping, I will pick her dresses and skirts and. The only answer to that is, do you think she comes dressed like a tramp at all? I didn't pick those. See, I'll let you know the ones. All right, then you can pass comments later. And you know, in that sense, that you know, that is part of my worship of my wife, I suppose. And you worship people at times, but there is a way of and you know, God is in the end has got to be first. God is the one that we should worship, and so we need to realise that more and more our relationship will trigger our worship, and it's not about the circumstance that we're in, because we have to press through and realise that no matter what circumstance we're in, God is not changing. That's one thing that doesn't move, that doesn't change. That God is not fickle. God is not having a bad day. God is not feeling emotionally unstable today. God is constant. The word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. That means I have to change. So when I'm having a bad day and I don't feel like worshipping God, then I've got to change. Because God ain't going to change for me. He's not going to move the ground rules, the goalposts, or anything, whatever you want to call them. He's not going to change those. All he's going to say is, Andrew, just come back. Just come back. And just enter into his presence. Mm-hmm. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving into your hearts. Enter his courts with praise. Mm-hmm. Worship is expensive. When I take Grace shopping, it can get expensive. I don't mind. As long as at the end, that what I'm looking at looks wonderful. Right? And in the same way, God has paid an expensive price for you. Yeah. And what he wants to see is you looking wonderful. And when you start seeing yourself looking wonderful,
amen,
like God sees you, then you begin to worship Him. And you begin to praise Him. The thing that we have to do is we have to take our focus off ourselves and our situations. Because that stops us seeing God and seeing the entire picture and seeing His power and seeing His glory. And when we start to see His power, His glory, and when you begin to let the Word quicken you so that you can begin to realise that God has a greater plan than now. He's not finished with you when we die. He's not finished with us when we die. This is the place where we met with the Lord. This is the place where we found Him as Lord and Saviour. And this is the place where eternity began for us in the presence of our God. With a future with God for us and behind us and pressing in front of us. He's all around us. You can look behind you and God's there. You can look in front of you and God's there. You can look up and God's there. You can look down and God's there. No matter where you go, God will always be there. He's there to catch you when you fall. He's there to encourage you when you're feeling down. He's there to encourage you to go on. He's there to bless you with whatever blessings that you need. But all those things come out of a relationship with Him. And the ultimate question is, what's your relationship going to be like? See, I can come along and kid you that I really love God, but I could be doing it for one thing. And some people try to get something from God. I could, you know, say, oh, no, Andy's great, my pal, and what have you, you know. He's just won the lottery, you see, and fantastic guy, you know. Really, you know, I've always thought a lot about him, and I'm going to give you this my guitar, Andy, and you know, and did you buy a ticket? Oh well, forget it. Wrong again. But people do that, don't they? They seek to manipulate. People try it with God, don't they? And they try and manipulate God into giving them something or getting them something or doing something for them. God, if you'll just do this, then I'll do that. I mean, I've done it. I've just remembered. I've done it. I'll tell you when I did it. Well, last time I could release it just jumped out of my mind. It's when I went for a technical driving test. That's 1 or 2 years ago. And I didn't want to fail. And I didn't have a lot of money then. Wages weren't big. And I said to the Lord, I said, if you get me through my driving test first time, I'll give you the second test fee and I'll put it into missions work. Put a bribe on the table. Don't get any ideas. And I thought, I'll put this. Now I meant it. And I did. I passed my test first time, so it cost me 2 tests anyway, you know. And I gave that into missions. Now I don't know whether I thought it as a bribe, but I was desperate. I wanted to pass my test. And I was prepared to pay double to get through. But I prefer the money to go into missions work than to go into the test centre. Mm-hmm. But I've still got to do my bit. Mm-hmm. You see, it's not a case of, well, if you have sick, got a bribe on the table. You know, here I go. Just have a look at that. It doesn't work. But our small-mindedness sometimes think, here I go. You can have that into missionary offering. And God will, backhander, just have a word, just whisper in the ear of the examiner, or blind his eyes when I do anything wrong, It don't work like that. See, God's looking at the heart. He looks beyond the bribe on the table, shall we say. I'm using me as the example. He looks beyond that bribe on that table and says, yes, I see that, but I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. What's the heart really want? What's the heart really longing for? Thankfully, I think and hope for me, it wasn't just to pass my test. Because I really want... my heart was for missions work. Always has been. And over the years, we've given much to missions work, financially, where we've had... And we've just been able to give. And I thank God for that. Part of the offering on Sunday night for Romania, the total on Sunday night that was given towards the work in Romania was £1,130. You can go to some place and you'll be lucky if you get £100 out of a congregation this size. You see, our heart's about missions. About the work of God. It's not about self-seeking. And when you can take the focus off yourself and your circumstances, and then you focus on God, you begin to worship that way. And one of the key points of worship is not just singing and playing instruments, but when God's got your money, He's got you. He knows you are worshipping. Because you've heard GC say this, and I've said it in the past myself over the years. If the money isn't your God, and you can freely give it unto the Creator of the universe, our God, and trust Him, then that's true worship. Because the question is then, you've only got one person to rely on. Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Amen.
And His grace and His provision is sufficient for every one of us. And the word tells us that if we give to Him, He will give back to us, pressed down, shaken together and running over.
Yep.
And that's a promise. And so there is a promise of running over, coming back into this body of believers because of the giving. And giving is worship. And so it's important that we learn to worship God in our giving, and we learn to worship God with our voice. And really, our focus these next few weeks will be about learning to listen to what the Spirit is doing. Listen to the Spirit as He moves upon individuals who, and there will be people who will flow more freely in worship. And so we need to listen to them, and we will follow. And as we follow that leading, and I don't mean sing it, just sing it, I mean following what the Spirit is doing. And we will follow. Hear angelic voices singing. See, the angels can't sing the song of salvation. They can't sing that song of salvation, of rejoicing that God has forgiven their sins. It is only us. That song is peculiar and special to us. And it mesmerizes the angels into silence when you begin to sing. But as we begin to worship then the Creator, all creation joins in and worships Him. And when we begin to do that, we begin to worship God, the Creator and Maker of all things. And as we do that, and the angels will join in, because He is their Creator, He is their Maker, He is their God. And they can sing those songs with us. Praise God. And the Bible tells us in heaven there's only going to be silence for half an hour. So you better get used to worshipping.
Amen.
You better get used to it, because, and what I want us to be able to see is that in the end, as we press on over these few weeks, and I don't know how long it's going to take, I don't know how long, what, you know, it takes as long as you want. Basically, takes as long as you and I are prepared to risk it and step out. Takes as long as much as, in the sense that, how much am I prepared to sacrifice of me? Takes as much as, how long am I going to be able to spend in the presence of God? And so we need to press into those areas as individuals. And we can worship God. Worship God even at home. But worshipping God at home can be possibly easier than worshipping God corporately. Yeah. Because to worship God corporately, you have to listen to each other. Mm-hmm. Spirit might move on John to sing a song.
Yeah.
To sing in tongues. That means follow. Mm. If it's the Holy Spirit, then follow that leading. Mm. I move on Philip to dance. Nothing's impossible, you see. And so, we can to realise that we've got to learn to listen what's going on around us. Musicians app, when they play it well, when we play together, I can hear every one of them. I can hear what rhythm the two guitars are playing, and if they're different, I can hear the wrong chords and the out of beats. I'll stand there and think, oh, you know. Because our worship has to be in harmony, not discord. It's got to be a sweet sounding savour unto God. And so we need to create and develop that. And as Abraham went to worship God, he took his son and he took everything he'd got. He took his dreams. That's what he took. Abraham took his dreams. He took his future. He took his present. And it was all in that son, Isaac. And he took him, and he took him knowing full well, Isaac didn't know, but Abraham knew full well, that he had to plunge a knife into his son and give him back to God. But he had faith and he believed. He said, God will provide. God always provides. God always provides. But guess what? You've got to get up to the altar. You've got to get on the altar. And you've got to tie it down. You're not telling me Isaac was going to lay there while his dad took a knife. He's a teenager. Would one of these two lie down on an altar? Say, you know, okay, where's the lamb? Well, just lay on this wood, Daniel. It'll be fine. And you pull out this, you know, 8-9 inch dagger. And he says, what are you going to do, Andrew? I'm just going to lay this knife into you because God said I'm going to do it. And then he's going to raise you from the dead. Oh, no, you ain't. And he'd be off like a shot. Luke might lay there. Particularly if it's comfortable. If you lined it with something soft first, Luke could probably lay there. Yeah, I know. Daniel won't. No. Daniel's awkward. He'd clear off. So you'd have to tie him down. And Isaac was tied down. And God had to call twice to Abraham. Because his worship was so intense. His focus and his commitment to serving and worshipping God was so intense that an angel had to call out to him twice. Call his name. To stop him. And God brought the provision. And no matter what you need, God will bring the provision when you worship. When the church gets to a point of worshipping, the provision that is needed will be brought to life. Will be brought into the visual. Will be brought into the here and now. And that's what needs to happen. Where is the church going today? It sings songs. And again, I like to sing songs. Philip and I don't like to hear the boom, 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 boom at these conferences that we go to. It drives us crazy. I went last night to top up and there was a little bit round the other side. It weren't as noisy, but in that sense, but it was still there. It's like, what's it all about? And it has to be based upon God's word, based upon his promises. And that as we enter into his presence, we can magnify God. He saved you. He's delivered you.
Amen.
He's a healing God. Some of you God has healed. God is healing. God is making provision for you. God has saved your lives, not just through salvation, but God at times has protected your life and kept you safe. I know for at least twice in my life that God has protected me from being crushed by two cars. Isn't that right, Dad? I'm still here. Why? Because I have a destiny.
Amen.
God wants me to fulfill my destiny, and one of the biggest part of my destinies is worshipping God.
Amen.
And one of the things, you know, that ticks in my being is that if people want to follow where I'm going, then I hope it's because I'm worshipping God, the Creator. And for nothing else. Because it's about God the Creator. And when you worship God, people will see Jesus in you. Because you've come to that. You come to a face to face. Moses went to the tent of meetings. And he went to be in the presence of God. And he went and worshipped God. And when he came out, the presence and the glory of God was on him. And people said, cover your face. We can't look at you because it is the glory of God that we see. And worship brings that. Because when people worship, God turns his face towards them.
Amen.
And when you get in the face of God, the glory of God will come over you. And we need to realize that. But if we want to see real answers, if we want to see real things happening, if we want to see God changing lives, and if we want to see the power of God moving, it's about worship. It's about touching the throne and grabbing hold of the throne. As individuals and then corporately. Now, some of you say, well, I don't know how to grab hold of the throne. Some of you will say, well, I don't really feel free to worship. Well, In some cases, that's our pride is getting in the way.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't got a very good voice. We're not interested in your voice, because when the Spirit tunes you, mm-hmm. when you begin to sing the songs of the Spirit, mm-hmm. you'll be able to just blend in and flow with what God is doing. God created the robin and he sings. God created the song thrush and he sings. God created the crow and he crows. You know? God made him. And you might be a crow. Well, crow. Now, there's nothing wrong with crows and ravens. You know, they're the same. Nothing wrong with them. Because, you know, God even used the ravens to go and feed one of his prophets. Now, let me tell you this. Yesterday, I saw what ravens bring. There was a dead rabbit or a dead hedgehog on the road the other day, and this crow somehow managed to pick the thing up off the ground, off the road, so he wasn't going to get disturbed when he was eating next, and he took it and flew into the field. Well, dropped into the field. And I thought, wow, he must have... But he was determined he was going to eat undisturbed. And then it suddenly came to me, I thought, whoa, he took food to the prophet. Oh, you know, yeah, he picked up stuff that had been killed, dead. Philip and I, we drove to Skegness yesterday. Bah, there was some roadkill on there, weren't there, mate? Bah, there were pheasants all over the place. We thought about stopping and bringing them home, filling the freezer. Well, I say you've got to leave it for a while, haven't you, to, you know, and some of them weren't crushed. They were just laid in the grass being... Oh, there's a good... That's fresh. It's only lost one feather, you know. It's true, isn't it?
Don't forget that meat that Elijah got. He was sanctified by the word of God and cleansed by the word.
Well, we'd have to pray over them, you see. Needless to say, we decided not to stop. Didn't we?
Well, we did see one live.
Two, actually, we did, yeah. Yeah, two in the end, yeah. We saw two. But there were plenty of dead ones along the way. God does not want you and I being dead. He wants you and I to be alive and to begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we worship him in spirit and in truth, as we focus on him and press in, because that's our goal, that's my goal. That's my aim. Not to hear the musicians. For the musicians, if necessary, to fill in. But not to be leading us all the time. Because we can become dependent upon them. Mm. And then we can't sing unless we've got music. Mm. And the musicians need to learn to sing without music. Mm. Well, not sing. No, the musicians need to worship God without music, without an instrument to hide behind, you know. Mm. Play my guitar. Well, I've got to concentrate, so I can't sing, because it's an excuse. See, David played an instrument, but he sang to the Lord. So I'm giving you, I'm not giving you any excuses. I'm not giving you ability to have an excuse. There is no excuse. God gave every one of us a mouth.
Yeah.
God gave every one of us his spirit. Mm. God put his breath within each and every one of us. So there is no reason why you and I cannot worship God. Well, you don't know what my life's like. That may well be true. But God does. And if you want it to change,
yeah, that's it.
Then you have to worship God. Enoch walked with God and was not. What does it mean to walk with God? I think it must mean worship. Spent so much time walking with God, so much time spending in the presence of God, that if you can if you start spending a lot of time in the presence of God, you're going to end up worshipping God, because you are going to see beyond what you know now, and then you will be start to worship and to adore Him, and in the end God says forget it, there's no point in you going back, you have already crossed over. So He never died. Absolutely. Obedience is key. Yeah, obedience to Him. And when you're obedient to Him, things happen. Jonah went the other way. So God got him a return ticket. On another boat. Submarine. And then the submarine got sick. And Jonah came out as white as could be. He was bleached white. Yeah. Every part of him was white. And you know, those people, 400 years before Jonah, had had a prophecy saying that there would be a prophet who would come from the seashore and he would be white all over, totally white. Hey, you know, God lines these things up and all He wants is obedience. All He wants is obedience. And if you and I will just line up, just square up to that word obedience. We don't like to hear it these days, do they? Jonah was living like they are today. Go the other way, do the opposite thing. But God will spin you around. You won't enjoy the spinning round. You will not enjoy the return journey. That's a certainty. But once you get back on where God wanted you to be, you'll begin to enjoy that road. And see God moving in great power. And so tonight I want us to just begin to reach out to God. Put aside your feelings. You see, we don't worship God out of our feelings. I can remember in years back when I'd probably been at work, and it still happens even now, you know, been at work exhausted, feeling shattered, and think, I could do with a settee night, a night in. I'm too weary. But I was a teenager in church, and in my 20s, I didn't go to church for girls. I went for God. The girl that I met didn't go to the church that I went to. And there were loads of girls in that church. But you know, I wasn't interested in them. I was interested in God. Amen. He came first. He was what I wanted. And I would go to church. I'd get into the prayer meeting for the last 15 minutes. Just in case something was happening and I might miss it, I've told you I would drive past my home from work on a night time, Wednesday night, and would drive into Doncaster, into Bentley, to go to the prayer meeting, not had me tea. Just had a quick snack. Left work at 8 o'clock and in church at 8:30, 8:45. It's only a prayer meeting. That's true. It was. But hey, something might happen and I might miss it. There's no way. There was no way was I going to miss it. Hated it when I went to college, university. Had to live away from home. Couldn't get to church on a Wednesday night. Used to drive back from college every Friday night and straight to the youth meeting on Friday night. God might turn up. He did. That's why I'm still here. But it was about worshipping God. And I didn't fully understand it then. And I still don't fully understand it now. But I'm getting closer to it. But it's about a passion and a heart's desire for God. And as you let that passion and that heart's desire set you on fire, you'll set others on fire. And hopefully we'll catch it. Not everybody does. We know that as individuals. People disappear, walk away, go out on us, because sometimes they can't stand the passion, they can't stand the desire, they don't have that passion and desire because they don't want to work at it. They don't want to work at entering into the presence of God. You can't just walk in there any old way. After all, He is the Creator. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's the Maker of heaven and earth. And all that dwells therein. And so you and I have to come into His presence and worship Him for who He is. The Creator and the Maker of the universe. The Creator and Maker of you and I as individuals. And that as we realise that more and more, we're not coming to God to get. We're coming to give.
Yeah.
We're coming to give adoration. We're coming to give worship. We're coming to bless the name of God. We're coming to give Him praise. We're coming to magnify His name. We're coming to give Him glory. We're not coming to get. And that's the problem with so many people. They come to get. So many church people attend church to come to get. Well, they're coming for the wrong motives. They're coming with the wrong ideas. I know that God meets my every need. But it's in His time. It's on His agenda. Not in mine. And there are times when I'm saying, God, I think You're running late. He says, you can think what you want. But the key is to still praise Me.
Mm.
And these days I start thinking, God, I think You're running early. Mm. At times. Can You just slow this thing down a bit, God? But I suppose I ought to start praying, Lord, give me strength.
Yeah.
Give me understanding, give me abilities. Lord, bring alongside us, Lord, even people with a greater passion than we've ever seen before. That we can worship God in spirit and in truth. And we can see His presence moving in our lives in such a way. And moving in the lives of others, that our lives will shine and affect people so much. And why? It's because they can say, you have been with Jesus. We have been into His presence. We have bowed at His feet. We have kneeled our knees. And we have prostrated ourselves before the living God. And He has breathed His breath over us. And whispered into our lives. And angels have touched us. And heaven has come down and met us. And that's where we need to be. And that's where worship should take us. That's what worship should bring. And I just feel that's where God wants His people. I know that's where God wants his people. Because when we're worshipping him, when we're in that presence, we're in that context, when we're in so close to God, he'll give you the words that you need for every situation and every circumstance. And God is no man's debtor.
No,
no man's debtor. So, praise God. Are we ready to worship?
Yeah.
Are you inspired?
I am.
Enough? Or have I perspired you? Have I given you a hunger?
I think as well, it's just important when we're worshipping to also develop an open ear to what he's saying to us, because it's a two-way thing.
That's right.
And saying to him, I'm available if there's anything you want. If you want to use me, I'm available, God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you every day, though. Especially yesterday afternoon, no. Well, I've had to go down to the post office because we went to skip from Monday. And so I'll call on, long as I have to call on. I look around, everything is beautiful. Thank God. Everything just lit up. The place lit up, you know. And it keeps coming, it keeps moving, going. It's coming now, it's coming.
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
Because before I was a prisoner down here, he didn't talk, it used to be peace, which is now. That's right now.
No, ma'am.
But you see, we've encouraged you all along the way to keep praising God, to give God thanks, haven't we?
Every day I praise him.
Yeah. And when you were feeling down, we've encouraged you to stay in there and give praise.
I was down, you know.
Yeah.
And he has got me down here because we first started.
Yeah. But you see, it is God that in our praises, it will bring the victory.
Yeah. And he told me to listen to the Psalms.
Yeah, that's right. Because Psalms are about, yeah, Psalms are praise unto God, you see. And as we give God praise, as we give him praise, we'll see things happen, changing our lives. Amen. So you're ready and inspired, are we? You know, love is healing for every wound. Jesus ministered healing. Why did he minister healing? He ministered healing because he loved the people. He says he had compassion for the people. And worship so often is, these days, is led basically from the front. You have a band, don't you? And the band does all the, and everybody else sort of semi-spectates, really. And that's okay in certain situations, that's fine. But one of the things I think that we, the church, need to get back to as well is actually moving forward in worship ourselves. Because I think if we're not careful, we're dragged along into worship rather than leading in worship. We get dragged along by the beat, the band, or the musicians. And I think even some of the older hymns, we need to sort of look back and go back to some of the older hymns, some of the great truths. Yeah, John Wesley, you know, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And realise that there was power, and they were quoting scripture. And if you and I focus on a lot of the choruses that are being produced today, much of that is about me, and having a good time and God doing things for me. And that's not really what it's about. It's about we are worshipping God. And as we worship God, He will do great and mighty things. You, in one sense, you won't have to ask God to do something because His blessings are already upon you. And the Word tells us that His blessings will overtake us. So the situation is you don't need to be standing saying, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. You need to be on your way doing and praising God. And as you're on your way doing and praising God, the blessings will come overtaking you, you see. And so those are the directions that we've sort of got turned around a bit over these last few years. Not directly as part personally, but, you know, that's the way everything's gone, church-wise. And we were setting up a Christian camp, weren't we, this Monday. Well, I did one on Saturday as well. And they have music on while you set it up, you know. They did. And this is what you could hear. And you're at that for 4 or 5 hours. I'm thinking, if I don't turn that thing off, I'm going to put my foot through a speaker, you know. Absolutely. And I thought, must be my age. Yeah, it was all the time. And I sort of thought, must be my age. So I said to one of these young girls at the side that was also setting up, I said, is it me? I said, but that music is absolutely, well, I said, if you can call it music, I said, just don't do a thing for me. She says, no, she says, me neither. I thought, oh, good, it can't be my age then. She was younger than me, by the way, just in case, you know. No, our lot were pulling it on. Well, not our lot. You sort of walked up this passageway towards the gents, didn't you? And it was quiet up there, and then you think, oh, sanctuary, you know. Go to the toilet. You walked in the toilet door, and there's a Radio 1 blurt, you know. You think, oh, no. So, but yeah. God loves music, by the way. God loves music. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. Yeah, second book of Chronicles. Chapter 20. Mm-hmm. Found it? Good. Verse 16. This is about Jehoshaphat and about a great battle. And basically, if you read all the chapter, he seeks the Lord and gathers before the Lord and seeks the face of God. If you read verse 4, and Judah gathers themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And so they're standing and seeking God. What's their situation going to be about this battle? And then verse 16, and God speaks to them. And verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they will come up by cliffs of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and faced to the ground, and all Judah and its inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. That's worship. Giving adoration, bowing before him, acknowledging that he is God and that he's mighty and powerful, and that he is the one who does hear and does answer our prayers. Be sure of that. Sometimes you may not answer it in the way that you want him to answer it, but he will always answer. Sometimes we get the wrong ideas. And verse 21, and when they consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Take note, that gets read over quite easily. And he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You can just read it blandly like that. But Jehoshaphat, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. That's the key. It is about singing. It is about worshipping unto God. It's not singing just to get your emotions and to get goosebumps, but it's singing to unto the Lord. And as you do that, then as you're singing unto the Lord, you begin to touch heaven. You begin to touch his throne. And you're entering into the presence of God in a mighty way. And when you begin to enter into his presence, and when you begin to touch the throne room of God, the power of God is being released. You can't get much closer to the source than being in the throne room. And that's the place where God wants his church to be. In the throne room. Now you say, but we live on earth. I'm talking about touching God in the throne room by the Spirit. God is Spirit. And we have to touch God by the Spirit. You alright, guys? You found something?
No, I'm just noticing that the way they were worshipping, and they were singing to birds, but it said his face was touching the ground.
Yeah.
And they all bowed down with him, so they were all with their faces literally on the ground.
Yeah. And it's a place of vulnerability, but it's they themselves submitting to God, submitting to the word of God, to the command of God. No, you can't. And it's submitting to that, that word of God and that command that God told them what to do the next day. And so, he, Jehoshaphat, appointed singers to sing unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You've got a load of soldiers who think, initially, they're going out to fight. And the word will have gone round, don't worry, lads. Don't worry, you won't have to fight. Yeah, I've heard that before. There'd been Thomas in there somewhere, wouldn't he, I've heard all that before about we won't have to fight. Yeah, I remember last battle we were in, they said to me, don't worry, you won't have to fight. Well, there we were flinging stones and dodging all arrows and everything. Yeah. And so they're in this situation, and you can imagine that within the army there's this, well, are you sure we won't have to fight? Well, what we're doing with the swords and the spears and everything else, do you like, Oh, it's just in case, that's faith, that, isn't it, But God said you won't have to fight. And so the singers were trying to build faith. The singers were trying to lift their vision up to heaven, to focus on God, and to realise that God is in total control. And verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which they were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So, just as they began to sing, the angels of God moved and set an ambush. When you're in problems, when you're in trouble, when you're in difficulties, I suppose it sounds like the answer needs to be, begin to worship and praise God. Begin to worship. That's the last thing you think about doing. If you knew what state I'm in or what my situation is, you wouldn't be able to worship. There's an army massed against them. They're outnumbered. They're outgunned. They could quite easily be outplayed on the battlefield. And God's, and you know, God gives Jehoshaphat the word, and Jehoshaphat carries it out and says, right, sing us up front. Hang on. Yeah. Use all the arrows up on the singers, and then we'll get, you know. That's a good plan. Yeah, it's a good idea, yeah. Especially them that sing a bit flat, get them up front first, you know. God. And them that can't sing, put them right up front of it, you know, and hopefully, yeah, right up front line. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, trouble is when the piano player starts playing, they all start singing, so shoot in first, you've got to stop your choir. Hey, that's true though. I think in churches today, shoot the piano player or the guitarist and they'll stop singing. But what is the Spirit orchestrating? We're not saying we're going to shoot you, Bill. Saw blood draining from your face then for a minute. Yeah, that's right, shoot the chief and that's it, everybody scatters. The thing what we've got to realise is that, you know, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Every one of us needs to be tuning in and to catching what the wind of the Spirit is. And so if you read the story, it goes on, and Jehoshaphat was won the battle, the army turned tail, set about itself, and God did a great work of deliverance for them, and they picked up the spoils. Sounds like a good story to me. Sounds like a good line, but you know, we could handle that. And we need to realise that God still wants to do that for us today. And did it with Joshua. But God wants to do that for us today. Now in John chapter 14 and verse 23, it tells us that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. So it's not in emotion, and it's not out of our minds, but it is out of our spirit. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 23. Somebody just read that out for me, please. Yes, Dad.
But the hour cometh, when now is, when the true worshipper will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Right. We'll just hold it there for a minute. Jesus is telling his disciples that this is what the Father wants. This is the pattern of what the Father wants. He wants the worship to be of spirit. Verse 24 says God is spirit. Some of your King James say God is a spirit. He's not a spirit. He is spirit. There isn't another dimension of God the Father other than spirit. So God is spirit. And so for you and I to touch God in our worship, it has got to be out of our spirit, not out of our emotions. Now when our spirit begins to touch God and our spirit catches a light, if you want, and starts to worship God, then there is a knock-on effect. And Andy was talking about it today when he stood here, saying that, you know, you can be feel you've had a bad day, you're tired, and you come to church, and then just by being together, your spirit begins to lift, and the tiredness begins to go. And it's not to do with food, it's not to do with drugs or anything like that. It's the fact that your spirit energizes and gives life to this body. You see? It's the generator that gives life to your very body. You know? And the world tries to cut the drive belt that stops the generator spinning and you flag. And the toils and the situation of the world stop the generator turning, stop the generator focusing on God and just connecting with God. And so you and I have got to realize that we are to worship Him in spirit. Sometimes we'll start in the flesh. That's okay. We can handle that, you know, because our flesh also needs to be gratified in the things of God at times. God created us, has caused us, put flesh on us. So He's going to bless that. He's going to do away with it. There'll be no more aches and pains. Glory to God. But it is quickened by your spirit. And when your spirit begins to praise, so should your body begin to praise. You know, you see people, I'm praising God. Good. Let your face know. Or let the rest of your body know that you're doing it, you know. Because praise is something to be glad about. Worship is something to be excited about. Because in worship, you are actually entering into the Holy of Holies. You're going into the holy place. You're going into the inner sanctum. You're going into the very presence of God. You are going into onto His throne room. Wow. And you can only get there when you worship. You see, worship is part of a preparation. If you look at the high priest, the high priest was not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies with all his adornments on, was he? They had to be removed. And just, yeah, that's right. That's orthodoxy. You don't go and serve at the Lord's table in all the regalia. And so, it's symbolic of that as a reminder that when we come into His presence, we come simply. And as we come washed and cleansed and simply into His presence, then He is magnified. And the glory and the magnification of God begins to come over us. How do we know this to be true? We know this to be true because Moses went into the tabernacle and met with God. And when he came out, the people said, oh, cover your face. Cover your face. The glory. Because he'd been in the presence of God. Now, you're not telling me that Moses wasn't in that tent, in that tabernacle, worshipping God. Because he was. He wouldn't have been able to stand up. Because of the awesome presence of God. And he was before God. Wow. Now, what happened in the Old Testament to Moses, I believe is available to us today, that we can, if the church desires, can move itself, individuals can move themselves into such a way into the presence of God and to begin to feel the touch and the power and the moving of God on their lives. And people will look at you and say, you're different. And they might say, why? Some might know why. You've been with Jesus, haven't you, they'll say. In reality, you've been with God. Absolute truth, you've been with God. That's God's desire. The Bible tells us that God is a jealous God. What's he jealous of? He's jealous of anybody else having you. He's jealous of anything else having you. And you know when he knows when he's really got you? When he's really got hold of you, that's when you start to worship. Because you're not interested in anybody else, anything else, nothing else has got your attention. Only God. You're not interested whether your flaps on your saxophone are dry, wet, green, yellow, blue, whether you've broke a string. You're not interested in that. Those are totally incidental. That's where we're going to come to. And so we can that is where God is. That is where God wants to draw his church, because when his church gets into that sort of presence, then that's when the church moves into the power of an anointing that is great. Now some of us are, better be careful how I say this, some of us are old hands at church life, aren't we? Some of us are not old hands at church life in one sense, but some of us that have been around a while have seen, back a few years, we've seen the presence of God moving, we've seen the power of God moving, we've seen the manifestation of the presence of God. And some of you will probably say, well, I really haven't. That's the fault of our praise and worship, as we call it, in my opinion. Because the songs that have been written over these last few years have been focusing on ourselves and not upon the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, not upon the mighty God that we serve, but it's about, Lord, meet my need, Lord, you know, touch me, Lord. Great song, yeah, I mean, and yeah, we all want a touch from God. But the only way you're really going to get a touch from God is when you actually bow the knee, submit to him, and move yourself into his presence. That's a real touch. That we can come out and people look at us and say, wow, I know where you've been. But the stories that go around about the great Welsh revival, and that people were drawn to church because the people in church were under such a powerful anointing that the church building glowed, basically. There are stories of fires on the top of church buildings. Not literal fires. Godly fires that appeared to be like literal fires. Even the fire brigade came out thinking a church was on fire. There's one story in a small church somewhere in Wales, that for 7 nights over the platform area of the church, there was a face of a ram that had been slain, and it appeared, and it was there for 7 nights, and people kept coming in and getting saved. They walked in and they got saved because there was a manifest presence of God. And all that was started through prayer and worship, seeking the face of God. Seeking the face of God. And you know, you hear people today saying about the world, and oh, it's a desperate place, you know, things are bad, and there's all these killings, and it's not safe to be out, you've got to keep your doors locked, and there's always somebody looking for an opportunity to break in. I think I told you a story about the lady at the post office a couple of weeks ago. They forgot to lock the door. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, she heard noises. And there's 2 or 3 lads, and they're loading everything up at the bottom of the stairs, ready to walk out with everything. And she and her 2 sons heard something and woke up and scared them off. The door had been left unlocked. Tell you something, at our house, the angels have to work now and again. So we've left doors unlocked, got up the next morning. Now, I bet every one of us has done it. You know, you laugh at your mother, Grace, don't forget to lock the door before, you know, when you leave. You say, oh, shut up, you know. Well, yeah. But you do it, you forget. And, you know, people can walk in. I told you a few months back, I went to work. Grace went to work. I usually go last. I was off first. Somebody left the door wide open for 8 hours. The next door neighbour walked down the driveway. It was on a Tuesday, to put the dustbin away, and the door must have just blown slightly as if it was closed. Never even looked at it. When I got home at 6 o'clock, I'm like, hang on, how did she beat me home? I've seen her. I'm sure she kind of got home before. I've just seen her on the road. I'm sure she pulled off to go to garage or something. And then I realised, I don't believe it. The door has been left open all day. So you go in gingerly, you know, thinking, I wonder if there's anybody in here. I mean, you don't know, do you? The house could have been emptied. They could have had a furniture van and gone in and taken everything. In our sleepy little cul-de-sac, nobody knows. Mind you, Dennis might have done. But, I tell you need God's angels around you all the time. And so you thank God and you worship Him for things like that happening in your life. But our time together, Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And it's important to realise that. That it's not about a place, but it is about God. You see, so many people worship God in a building. Doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter where we are, we can worship God wherever we are. Because God is everywhere. His spirit roams to and fro throughout all the earth. And I tell you, in the moment you begin to worship, the moment that you lift your voice, His spirit will gather around you in greater presence and power. Because He's captivated by that. He's captivated by His people, as we are captivated by Him. And so it's those things that God is wanting to do in our lives. this last couple of Sundays, as we've been coming to the end of our time of praise and worship, when I'm up there and just with the guitar, keyboards and singing and everything, I can hear everything around me going off at times, different things, and I hear the wrong notes and play the wrong chords and whatever else happens, you know, and you hear all of that going on. But on the last two Sundays, as we came towards the end of praise and worship, we began to just the musicians just began to tune in a little bit to the Spirit, and we began to just sing a few words that weren't really from a song. And Andy was at the side of me, and Andy was beginning to sort of just follow in. It was beginning to just ebb and flow. And nobody's wrong in that. Yeah, because you're singing a song, a new song. See, the word says, sing a new song unto the Lord. What's the new song? A song that's never been sung before. And so we were beginning to just flow, and same again on this last Sunday night. Again, same thing, we began to just sing and we just began to enter in. It wasn't about necessarily playing instruments, because I think on both Sundays we stopped playing. I mean, Bill on the first Sunday was just quietly with the keyboard behind us, and it was just this thing of just beginning to flow. And it You need to be able to sort of just, you've got to forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship him. Now there's a chorus, isn't there? So forget about yourself. Forget about anybody else. Well, no, you don't forget about anybody else in that sense, because you've got to learn, you've got to listen to the other voices. On a keyboard, you press one key, and it's basically like just a voice. But you can then get another key, and if you know how to play a keyboard, you can put that one down, and those two voices blend together, don't they? And you can then go for another one, and you can get these all these different keys to harmonise and make a wonderful sound. If you can't play a keyboard, you probably can't do that. But the idea is that our voices begin to follow, and you hear somebody, the anointing will be upon them. This is the point that we get to, that, you know, God may just at that point in time just lay that anointing on somebody to begin to lead a song. May not be a musician. The musicians will not fall into a flat panic when, oh, I can't find key. What key are we in? You know, what's it matter? We'll just use the voice that God gave us, which is so many variables in it, and begin to rise in a crescendo of worship unto God. The old churches are good for this because of the acoustics that are in them, and they allow the it lifts the voice. Bless you. Stand over here. Jesus. Oh, I know. Just blew me through a wall. That's right. Yeah. Amen. There you go. There you go. Turn to dust. Not you. But the old churches, the buildings had this acoustic where people's, when they sang, it lifted, didn't it? I mean, you guys that go to the Church of England, you notice that, don't you? There's this resonance at times. Is it a bit dead in that one? Oh, well, pick a...